We welcome you again to Sunday School, that portion of our ministry that we bring each week, which is a Bible study, praying that you and I will both profit in these lessons. Today we want to deal with conversion. Conversion. We touched on it last week, but we want to go much deeper this week into the topic of conversion. And speaking of topics, I owe a great deal of gratitude to the topical textbook of 1935 by the Revell Company, the scriptures that I was able to view in that book, as well as some subheadings, was all important to the bringing of this message to you today. Conversion. Today we're going to be considering scriptures which may appear obscure and not fitting with our topic in this message. But with the advent of Christ, His first coming, His perfect life, His sacrificial death and resurrection, then Christ's ascension back to God the Father, which led to the Father sending the Holy Spirit through Christ to God's elect, with all that occurring, when that happened, a radical and blessed change occurred concerning God's holy word. In this gospel time, we now have far greater light on the depth of the Holy Scriptures, especially when it comes to the Old Testament. It is in this light, the light of Christ, that we rightly divide those scriptures in this present evil age, which wars against the gospel of Christ. And of course, we must be led as well to discern the New Testament scriptures, led by the Spirit of God. Nonetheless, I pray that we will see these Old Testament texts in greater depth with the light from the New Testament truths and revelations given to us through the apostles. Apostolic authority is overwhelmingly important in discerning the scriptures. Conversion. If you did not hear last week's message, you may not fully appreciate or learn from today's message as you might if you go back and listen to baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. All important to today's study. Last week we learned that conversion, or being converted, involves turning in an immediate and decisive change. That's what occurs when we're born again. We turn in an immediate and decisive change. Conversion is always, mark that down, true conversion is always accompanied with or by repentance, which is turning away from sin and turning toward the Lord God. Now, this turning of conversion in an immediate and decisive change is brought about by God's sovereign grace when He births us again spiritually with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to start examining the Holy Scriptures with this greater light given to us due to Christ's work on earth during His first coming and the subsequent work of the Holy Spirit of Christ, who was sent to lead us into all truth. Looking to the Old Testament and 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to deal specifically with verse 37, but right before verse 37, 1 Kings chapter 18 acknowledged that the Lord God, that is Jehovah Elohim, and that word Elohim is a plural word translated as singular. The Lord God, Jehovah, the triune God, is God in Israel. That's what we see earlier in 1 Kings chapter 18. Now the text in 1 Kings 18:37 reads this way. Hear me, O Lord, again Jehovah, hear me. Twice said, hear me, hear me. If you'll check and read what we have today, the knowledge that we have toward who wrote 1 Kings, and actually 1 and 2 Kings were together as one book in the beginning, the commentators pretty much agreed that it was Jeremiah, and at the least it was some unknown prophet. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, says Jeremiah or some other prophet, that this people, that's a reference to Israel, may know that you are the Lord God, Jehovah, the triune God, and you have turned their hearts back again. God has turned their hearts back again. And with the light that we have today concerning Israel, especially the Israel of God, Galatians 6:16, we know that we speak of the true church, the New Testament church, as well as the church in the wilderness from the Old Testament. If we apply that to 1 Kings 18:37, we apply it to the true church, the redeemed of Christ. Let's think again. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people, the church, may know that you are the Lord God and you have turned their hearts back again. Yes, that does speak of the conversion of the Old Testament saints, but of those in New Testament times. Even today, folks, even today, we can apply 1 Kings 18:37 to ourselves. Now, further proof of that application that I'm using, again, goes to these prophets, either the prophet of Jeremiah or a prophet that we know not who it was. If that's true, then what Peter writes in his first letter authorizes us today to apply our text in 1 Kings to conversion in New Testament times. Now listen to this. Listen to what Peter has to say in his first letter of the prophets. And again, we are applying it to our conversion. Of this salvation. Now, folks, you can't be saved if you're not converted. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace to you, to us today in New Testament times. These prophets, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he, the Spirit of Christ, testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now here we see the Spirit's role in the written word, being in those who wrote down these things that we now look at as the Word of God. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Here we see the Spirit of God in the spoken word from the Scriptures. The Spirit of God leading the men of God to bring you and I the Word of God. Now, from these things that I've brought you, it seems that I'm on solid ground when telling you that conversion is prefigured all the way back in 1 Kings 18:37. Yeah, even your conversion, my conversion, the turning back of your heart to the Lord God. Conversion. Turning in an immediate and decisive change. Oh, we've been changed, haven't we? If we've been truly converted, my goodness. Yes. Now, why does the Scripture, there's a question I think we need to answer. Why does the Scripture actually say, turning your hearts back again? As if your heart was set on God previously. Now, I believe the direction here, more accurately than saying that, is toward the original purpose of God for humanity. What was the original purpose of God for humanity? Genesis 1:26. Then God said, and that's Elohim, a singular translation from a plural word, then God said, the triune God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. But we know in time that the sin of man delayed that purpose. Delayed. But did not change God's purpose. Listen to me closely now. The people made in the image of God. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. This law here speaks of the Ten Commandments, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, and folks, that's a reference to from eternity. We've always been sons in the purpose of God. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, because you are sons, in the eternal purpose of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, or Abba, more correctly, Father. May I couple that with another scripture as I think upon that? And we know that all things work together for good to the ones loving God, to those being called according to purpose. Called, we just saw that. Called when God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Because whom he foreknew, in eternity, folks, before time began, he also predestinated in eternity before time began. What did he foreknow? Us. And what did he predestinate us to? Conformed to the image of his son. In his original purpose, it was to have a people in the image of himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Sin entered in, but we see that his plan would be fulfilled in conformity to the image of his Son, who is the exact likeness of the Father. It is in this sense, and I hope you're following me, it is in this sense that God has turned our hearts back again. Back again. Proverbs 1:23 really does illustrate this conversion. Listen to this now. Listen to this with the light that we have today through the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. God says in Proverbs 1:23, turn at my rebuke. Well, what does that speak of? What do you think about when it says turn at my rebuke? Well, folks, I see that as the coming about of conviction of the Holy Spirit, which is brought about by the rest of the verse. Now listen up. God says, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. Folks, I'm reading from the proverb. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Conviction of the Spirit of God. And when he says, pour out my spirit on you, folks, this is the effectual call of God. And those words which he makes known to us are found in the perfect law of liberty. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You'll find the perfect law of liberty, among other places, in James 1:25. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, spoken of in Romans 8:2. Now this law, this very law that we speak of here, that I've just talked about, was spoken of in Psalm 19:7, but not realized until the fulfillment of the promise of the Father in the sending of the Holy Spirit of Christ to indwell God's elect. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, folks, yes. The Word of God, the Ten Commandments, is perfect. But it goes deeper than that, folks. It goes to this law that we just spoke of from James and Romans. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Did you hear me? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. This is none other but the law, the perfect law of liberty. The law of the Lord is perfect. The perfect law of liberty, also referred to as the law of the Spirit of life, whereby the Father sends the Holy Spirit through Christ to make known to us the words of God in the gospel. Didn't we just read that in Psalm 19:7? Yes, we did. Right there it is. Seen with the light that we have today from the Holy Spirit of God, and again, the revelations we find in the New Testament. Remember what I said earlier. We can see the depth of such scriptures that could not be seen until Christ came and fulfilled his perfect life, was crucified, died, was resurrected, ascended back to be with the Father in heaven, and sent his Holy Spirit to guide us into the deeper truths found in the Holy Scriptures. Haven't we been seeing that throughout what I've said thus far. It should be, and I pray that it is, it should be quite clear at this point in this message that you must be converted in order to be saved from your sin. Folks, you can't work this out on your own. You can't lean to your own understanding. You can't think that I can do this and I can do that. And if I just be good enough, I'll be all right. Folks, you must be converted. Now, if you question that, the Lord Jesus Christ makes it irrefutably clear, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 18. Listen closely to this now. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, for those of you who think there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, all you need to do is turn over to the next chapter and read two verses, which I'm going to do for you now. Matthew 19, verses 23 and 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Folks, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven speak of exactly the same thing. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say unto you, unless you are converted." Did you hear that? "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." You must be converted. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, may I point out, when it says, "unless you are converted," that's a passive voice, which means it's done to you, not by you. You are converted by God. You don't convert yourselves. Now, a lot of folks, and I think I did it in my younger days as a Christian, a lot of folks erroneously take what we saw there in Matthew chapter 18 to mean little children are humble. It says humble yourself and be as a child. It doesn't say little children are humble. So we must be humble. That's not what it says. Little children do not lower themselves, and that's being humble, to lower yourself, as adults must do to become like little children. What are little children like? Look at any little child, folks. They are dependent for everything. When God converts a sinner, that sinner will learn in God's perfect time that we are dependent upon the Lord in all things and for all things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. The written and spoken word of God are instrumental in the conversion of sinners. May I repeat that? The written and spoken word of God are instrumental in the conversion of sinners. We see this illustrated as David penned these words as led by the Spirit of Christ in Psalm 51:13. Listen up. David says this, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. David wrote it, and David taught it. And as David, the men of God called to the ministry to teach, do so. They teach, they do so to see men and women, boys and girls, converted and fleeing to Christ. God uses that word in his converting of the soul. Now listen to me closely. I'm going to take the first part of what I say. That's what I believe. I'm going to give you something else to give you a little leeway if you struggle with this conversion idea and being born again. Being born of the Spirit and conversion may be one and the same. I think they are. But I know this. At the very least, being born again brings about conversion. The scriptures are clear. John 3:5. Unless one is born of water, even the Spirit, now I know that the King James Version says, and the Spirit, but you know in the very next chapter, John chapter 4, Christ talks about rivers of living water that only he can give. And what does he speak of? He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And you can find that throughout the scriptures, Old and New Testament. Water and the Spirit are the same. Unless one is born of water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Remember Matthew 18:3 that we read? Unless you are converted, you by no means can enter the kingdom of heaven. Now we're going to close, and this message is not that short because this closing, I'm going to read a rather lengthy portion of Scripture illustrating conversion and the fact that it is due to the sovereign grace of God and is accompanied with, of course, repentance, as we said, but it's accompanied also with saving faith. Conversion accompanied with saving faith and repentance. Folks, God woke me up again this morning early. Oh, I wish he didn't do this, but I'm so glad that he did because it gave me something that I had no idea. I was praying last night diligently that God would give me something to close this message out with, and I couldn't find anything. Went to bed with no clothes, and he woke me up, and my goodness, did he ever give me the clothes. We're going to see something in here. I gave you what I thought to be absolute proof of the apostles not being born again until Pentecost. Now, goodness gracious, God has showed me another verse that puts another nail right in there. Nails it down. So let's listen up. This is going to be one of my narratives. So if you would just listen for right now, you can go back and read it for yourself because I'm going to tell you where I'm reading from. But for now, please listen. In Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, the Jews, who still were looking to circumcision, saying, "You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth." But the voice answered me again from heaven, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Now this was done 3 times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, 3 men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit of Christ, folks, told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. Now again, if you've not been listening, please listen to me from this point forward. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." "And as I began to speak," says Peter, "the Holy Spirit fell upon them." This is the conversion of their souls, folks. "As upon us at the beginning." Now, did you hear what that just said? Those little words. "As on us at the beginning." He's talking about Pentecost. The same thing that happened to us is happening to them. They were being converted. Now, if you think we're not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, hold on to your seats. "Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Oh, my goodness, folks. How can we doubt what we said in last week's message now? And we're not through yet. "If therefore God gave them the same gift as us." Now listen to the next words. This will blow you away. "If therefore God gave them the same gift as us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, they didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the new birth until Pentecost. There it is. My goodness, there it is. Oh, gracious. "Who was I that I could withstand God?" Folks, Peter had been made like a little child. He realized he was dependent upon God for everything. He had been humbled. "When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, 'Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life.'" As I told you, conversion is not true conversion unless there's true repentance that comes with it. Now, not only that, but listen to this. I move on further in Acts chapter 11. "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Faith and repentance. "Then news of these things," now let me say, faith and repentance brought about by conversion. "Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch." Listen to this last verse. It leads to another verse that is such a revelation. It's just not even funny. It's amazing. "When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad," Barnabas, "and encouraged them all," encouraged all of them, "that with purpose," remember that word, "with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord." Folks, how do they continue with the Lord with purpose of heart? How do we continue in the faith? Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Listen, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God working in you both to will and to do of the good purpose. Are you with me? How do we, again, continue with the Lord in the faith? What is the good purpose? What is that good purpose God is working in us to want to do and to actually do it? Continuing in the faith. That's the good purpose. Right there it is. Continuing in the faith. Continuing in the whole body of gospel truth. You know, there's only one thing I can say at this point. Thanks be to God for our conversion. Amen.